Well, as we've already greeted one another, Jesus is risen. And he's risen not as a spirit. He's risen not as an idea. He's risen in a body. His disciples saw him, and they touched him, and they ate breakfast with him, and they spoke with him. But imagine if that were not true. Imagine if that was a fairy tale. Imagine if the disciples invented that to give us a sort of sense of hope in a world that's very confusing and chaotic with so much suffering. Imagine if this wasn't true. Now, I've got a real challenge today. My challenge is not to overload you with information, but it's very difficult when the whole of the New Testament, the whole of the New Testament, from beginning to end, is full of the resurrection. And I think that we face a danger, we who love Jesus. Am I the only one, or have you ever missed an important email because you had too many junk emails coming in? Am I the only one? Or maybe what you did was you were getting on with some work and you don't want to be disturbed, and an important text message came in and you kind of missed it. And I want to try and help us. It's not going to be easy, but I want to try and help us cut through all the clutter. And we can pick up a lot of clutter in our own lives so that we can see the one thing that is really important. The one thing that changes everything here in this life. Jesus risen from the dead. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to turn there because 1 Corinthians was written about 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And so this is even an earlier account coming from Paul before the Gospels were even written. And Paul, I think, even when he was still Saul, must have heard something about what Peter saw, what Jesus' brother James saw. And now he's writing as a Christian, and I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verses 3 to 8 and then 12 to 20. So hear the word of God. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Now just scan a few verses on ahead. Look at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. What must it have been like, Lord, for those women who were so fearful when, as they were running, they were suddenly met by Jesus? And Jesus said, "Greetings." And they fell at his feet and they clasped his feet and they worshipped him. And today, on this great Resurrection Sunday every Sunday we remember you raised from the dead, but this one day set apart for us in the year when we remember the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to hear your voice and not to miss the message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They really weren't the same after it. Within a few weeks after Peter denied the Lord and the rest had run away, there they were on the streets of Jerusalem preaching Jesus is Lord and thinking to themselves, how could we ever have doubted? I mean, this is what Jesus preached, didn't he? That was his message. This is why Jesus went to Jerusalem. And if he wasn't going to rise, well, why go to the cross at all? And today I've simply titled the message, He Rose, So What? He Rose, So What? Why should it matter? Why should it matter to me? I believe that Paul here shows us that the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And I want us to look at this under two questions, and they're there on your outline. You may want to use your outline. It will help you. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, would it change my faith? And then, since Jesus rose from the dead, how does it change my life? Well, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, would it change my faith? Now, even today, you know that eyewitnesses speak very loudly. And if they're believable, then you want to hear what they're going to say. But if their reputation has a bit of a cloud over it, why should you listen? So here is Paul, who at one stage was the most religious man of his day. In another part of the Bible, he calls himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews, so proud of his religion that he was very zealous in trying to crush followers of Jesus Christ. So here's the same man who was one day stopped in his tracks. You remember on the road to Damascus. And he says, here's the key. And you find it in verse 14. Look at it. Here's the key to my life. Here's the key to the whole Christian faith. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. Is anybody here this morning who doesn't want your life to count? To really count in the short lifespan that you've been given. On Friday evening, as we gathered together to think of the cross, I spoke of a name that we all know by now. We never knew the name a couple of days ago. I spoke of Lieutenant Colonel Arnaud Bertrand, who gave his life for a hostage in the city of Trebes. And we would have said, you know, there's a sense of waste in that if that hostage also lost her life. It wasn't an empty act. We call it heroic. There was love involved there, and a life was saved. It wasn't worthless. And Paul is making very clear that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, everything that we believe would be worthless. If Jesus didn't rise, Christianity would be a waste of time. Think about that. We would just be wasting our time. Today, we are joining with millions of people around the world, either proclaiming the truth that Jesus lives, or we're just deluded and we're living a lie. Think about that, you who love Jesus Christ today. Think about that. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, every sacrifice you've ever made to honor Jesus is pointless. Every word of prayer is just talking into the air. Every worship service you've ever attended, you may as well have spent cleaning your car. Not so easy to do here in Brussels, or playing computer games, all empty, all meaningless. Why does Paul bring this up? Why should we bring it up in our day? Well, as a Jew, Paul would have believed in some kind of resurrection. Some of you were in this church, I think it was in the 90s when Dr. William Lane Craig, was it in the 90s when he was here? Great apologist, was a part of the church here, and he says that during the time between the Old and New Testaments, the Jewish belief in resurrection was written about very often, but in Jewish thought, the resurrection occurred after the end of the world, never within history. So resurrection happened not in history, but at the end, but contrary to this, the resurrection of Jesus was within history, and it was the resurrection of the Messiah, the Son of God. That's not a small detail, by the way. You know, if the disciples were willing to live in poverty and die in agony, it's because they were convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. Have you wondered why there's so many appearances in the Bible of Jesus appearing to different people? Have you ever wondered that? From Mary, who thinks he's the gardener, to Peter, from the very sad disciples on the Emmaus Road, to the 11, to Thomas, to 500 people with one voice saying, Jesus is risen. Brothers and sisters, it matters. And it matters. It matters in our day because, let me say to you that not everybody is taken in by atheism. We're living in a fairly spiritual age. And you know that there are many people who believe that all that matters in life and in your life, if you want your life to count, all that matters is that you are sincere. If you sincerely believe whatever you want to believe, things are going to be okay between you and God. It sounds nice. It sounds spiritual. Not the disciples. This is of first importance. This matters in your life. If you want your life to count, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Any of you traveled to Bruges? No? Nobody? Okay. All right. You can respond. All right. Some years ago, we were returning from Bruges, and I sincerely believed in my GPS. Hanley's laughing because she remembers it. I sincerely believed it, but my sincerity in believing the GPS didn't bring me to the right destination. We ended up in some town east of where we wanted to be. It was the truth that mattered, not my sincerity. And Tim Keller reminds us that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, why worry about anything that Jesus said if he didn't rise? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether you like his teaching. The issue is whether he really rose from the dead, and he did. And that's why we worship him here today. And of course, it follows that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the Bible would be a fake and not a reliable book. Now, we could skip over that, but I don't want to do that today because the Bible very often is under attack. Imagine if Jesus was killed and for some strange reason they took his body and they hid it away. Then this book that we love, this book that you come Sunday after Sunday, many of you to hear, these words would be just that. They would be fake stories. You know, just sort of strung together. Come and hear about fake news. God creating the world. Eve being created out of the rib of Adam. God saving Daniel in the lion's den. I'm going to go further. If the Bible is just a story, Jesus isn't risen from the dead, why don't we expose our children? We pray for our children this Sunday and last Sunday. Why not expose them to the Quran? Why not expose them to the Hindu Vedas? Why not expose them to any other kind of spiritual literature? The Bible matters. The Bible matters. And the Bible testifies that Jesus rose from the dead. I was just wonderful last week to give thanks for little Matei. And I see his parents here today. And today to give thanks for Noah. Is there a parent here who doesn't want the very best for your children? If you don't want them to waste their lives, and you want to be very careful to shape their thinking, if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead, why expose them to the Bible? This is of first importance. Young people, listen to me. As your life goes through many chapters, listen to me and listen carefully. This is of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. If Jesus didn't rise, the early Christians would have died for a lie, not the truth. If he didn't rise, I may as well shut this Bible away and forget about it. If he didn't rise, this would only be a book about good morals, how to live a better life, but not the gospel of Jesus Christ that says, there is nothing I can do to save myself. Only Jesus, who lived and died and rose again, is the way to the Father. And by the way, we can't pick and choose.
You say to me today, well, I believe that Jesus was a great guy and a good teacher. The same Jesus who said, and I hope we do this, turn your cheek when it's necessary. Pray for those who persecute you. I hope we do that. The same Jesus who said, love your enemies, is the Jesus who said, I and the Father are one. And if Jesus was lying, then he would just be a con man and not a good moral teacher. And without Jesus risen, Jesus would not be everything that he says he is. But he is risen. A Christian, I want you to rejoice today. And if you're not yet a Christian, I want you to understand that there is no reason why you cannot be a Christian if Jesus is risen from the dead. If Jesus is risen, nothing about your faith is wasted, which means that you can be bolder in sharing your faith because he's the risen Lord. And if he is risen, everything in the Bible is true, so you can hide this Bible in your heart to live in a way that pleases the Father. Which brings us to the second question. Since Jesus has risen from the dead, how does the resurrection change my life? How does it change my life? I mean, if it doesn't change our lives, well, then our lives are wasted, right? And our lives are going to be pointless. And according to Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, it must change your life. And it does change your life. I mean, after Jesus was crucified, all the disciples kind of hunkered down. We prepared to go back to the way things were. Maybe we were wrong. But after they see Jesus risen, in a few weeks, they're turning their world upside down. Why? Paul writes these words, if you like, on their behalf. Get this, and you get the key to the whole Christian life. Brothers and sisters, the faith that matters is not faith in a creed. We're at a wonderful creed today. It's exact. It's doctrinally beautiful. But the faith that matters is not faith in a creed. The faith that matters is faith in a crucified, risen, living Jesus Christ who is living in you because he is risen. His resurrection will change you. How can it change you? You say to me, because only the risen Jesus can finally bury my past. Look at verse 17. It's an important verse. Look at it in the Bible. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Now look, unless you're different, our human nature is that we divide people into categories, and we're doing it all the time, right? We like to think that we aren't, but I suspect that we do. Rich and poor, black or white or some other color, religious or not religious, Bible says there's only one thing that matters, only one, first importance, whether you are still in your sin or whether because of the resurrection of Jesus, you are always in Jesus Christ. And you know what I love about this Easter weekend? I love it that when Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't just to show us that he is God's son, because, you know, he said, I have authority to lay down my life, John chapter 10, and I have authority to take it up again. So that's part of it, but I love it. That when he rose from the dead, it tells us that his work is finished. It is not religion that can get me to God. Only the work of Jesus can get me to the Father. No one has to live. No one has to die still in their sins. If Jesus is risen, the concept of still in sin is cancelled out forever. When we were in South Africa, a few months ago, we went through, we were on a national road, and we went through a toll booth. And Hundi will remember, I was surprised. Normally, you know, I take out my wallet and I'm about to pay, and they just waved us through. I felt pretty important. Never happened to me before. And I suspect it's because the rental agency had something on the window, probably had to pay for it later. and the camera picked it up. And you know, these days, I mean, if you're in the city without you knowing it, you can be traced by different cameras, and they can trace you through an entire day in the city. Now, imagine that you had a camera tracing you all day long. And it was not only tracing your actions on the outside, but your thoughts on the inside. And imagine if one day that DVD was played before the God of heaven and earth. Who could stand before that scrutiny? Not this preacher. Not a single one of us in this room. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. I want you to rejoice in this if you're a believer. And I want you to believe in this if you're not yet a believer. Jesus was delivered up for our transgressions. He was raised for our justification. It was impossible that the resurrection couldn't take place. It had to take place, not just because of the power of God, but because of the justice of God. The resurrection is God's stamp that every single one of my sins has been paid for in full. That's got to change the way you think about yourself, right? Maybe you're here today and all you think about is your past. Now, it's one thing not to forget our past. I understand that. It's another to let your past define you. That you're always thinking, what I did to damage my life is more important than what Jesus did to save my life. Hebrews 7, verse 25, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Don't see yourself through the lens of what you've done to damage your life. Because he is risen, we can see our lives through the lens of what God has done to heal them. Delivered up for our justification. He must rise. And he rises, and only the risen Jesus can fully empower my present. I like how Paul puts it in verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Now, whatever he's saying about the hope that we have after this life, he's saying in your present life, because Jesus is risen, are you acting as if he's alive? Why? Because he's freed me not just from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin over me. In Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul puts it this way, it's no longer I who am living, but Christ. Do you think of yourself in that way? Christ. Christ. The risen Jesus who lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We have the joy of having Ruby staying with us while Stuart and Martina have gone to their nephew's wedding in Colombia. And at this moment, they have probably taken off in a big 747 plane, if not a bigger one. And I'm always amazed, aren't you, when a plane takes off? I'm amazed. The law of gravity hasn't changed. How on earth does that plane get up? There's a greater law. It's the law of aerodynamics. And because Jesus is risen, if I'm a Christian, I can daily draw on his power. There is a greater law at work in my life than the law of sin and death. What does that mean? If Jesus is risen, stop acting and living as a victim. Stop it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. The Bible calls you more than a conqueror. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so let me end with this today. If Jesus can finally bury my past and fully empower my present, only the risen Jesus can totally secure my future. A couple of days before I was preparing this, I heard of two bereavements. One of Alain's friends, a father of 51 years old, only 51 died, leaving behind 3 children. When I come to 1 Corinthians 15, I don't see Paul ignoring death, which we like to do, right? We don't talk about death here. I don't see Paul fearing death. A little later, because Jesus is risen, he says this, verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, so all in Christ will be made alive." He's saying there's only one way to be ready for death. Whether you're younger or older here today, only one way. You can face it as someone who is following Jesus, who stepped into it before you, and because he stepped into death, into resurrection life, that's what's ahead for you too. Now listen, listen. It challenges me in two ways. When Jesus rose, he did not do it only that you might go to heaven. He did it that you might live out heaven here in this world. Understand that. Understand it. I like the way someone has put it. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize the earth with the life of heaven. We're on a mission. We've got work to do because Jesus is risen. He's alive. That's our message. Like the early disciples who turned their world upside down. Their motto was, "You only live once." Wasn't there a James Bond movie by that name? "Only die once." You only live once, so don't waste it. Whether we're beaten or put in prison, one voice, Jesus is Lord. We would rather die for Jesus than live without him, and we want you to meet him too. This really gives us perspective. You know, if Jesus is risen, and I think we sang about it, about his real glorified body, and we're going to see him in that body one day. There's a sense in which, man, we've got something to look forward to after death, right? We're not going to be floating around as, you know, spirits. He's risen in a body. Your body's giving you grief at the moment and pain. You're going to be redeemed, a believer, in the area of your life that is dear to us, but also sometimes gives you the greatest grief and the greatest trial. You're going to be redeemed, your body. And one day, unless he comes again, this body will be the scene of our final failure as it falls into a grave that we cannot escape, except if Jesus is risen, except if he's broken into history with the power of another world. And he has. And he has. I can't think of any greater news to preach than this. In this week, I read of a very simple farmer who lived many years ago. His name was John Brown. He lived in Scotland in the 17th century. He belonged to a group of Christians known as the Covenanters. And many of them were executed simply because they loved the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wouldn't sign anything saying that we deny it. And as he was working on his farm, some men led by a man called Graham of Claverhouse arrived at his fields demanding that he sign something rejecting his faith. When he would not sign, Graham ordered his men to shoot, and they shot him in front of his pregnant wife and child. And Graham of Claverhouse said, as he looked at the body of John Brown, "What do you think of your husband now?" And with his body lying at her feet, she said, "I've always thought a great deal of him, but I've never thought as much of him as I do now. Never thought of much of him as I do now. I wonder if the disciples, when they saw Jesus, and they clasped his feet, said, 'We thought something of him. We never thought as much of him as we do now.'" Can I say this to you? This is of first importance. This is of first importance. Wherever else you may go wrong in your life, do not miss this. The resurrection of Jesus will impact what you're living for, why you believe you are here, how you bring up your family, and one day where you will end up. And today, if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to see him in his risen power, the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus said, will never die. Believe in this Jesus. And for we who love him, we're going to sing in a moment. We are raised with him. Death is dead. Love has won. Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to pause. Let's close our eyes and let's pray together. If you've not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to do that, you don't have to walk up an aisle to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to lift up your hand. In the quietness of your heart, you can simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I am the sinner for whom you died. And I believe that you are the Son of God who not only rose from the dead, but I believe that you laid down your life for my sins, my transgressions, and you rose that I might be right with you forever. If you want me to pray for you, you can stand where you are if you feel comfortable to do that. And I will pray. Or if you want to see me after the service, you're very welcome to do that as well. And then, Lord, for we who know and love you, who become so familiar with this great story, may we be struck with the same awe as the disciples who not only fell down and worshipped at your feet, but got up and used everything that you gave them to shout out to the world, Jesus is Lord. So help us and so enable us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. I'm so grateful to Keith and Christine Getty for writing this hymn, See What a Morning Gloriously Bright. I think we sang it last Easter, and we're going to end with that today.
See what a morning gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Folded in grave clothes, tomb filled with light, as the angels announce Christ is risen. See God's salvation plan, wrought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice. Fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. See Mary weeping, where is he laid, as in sorrow she turns from the empty tomb. Is a voice speaking, calling a name, it's the Master, the Lord, raised to life again. The voice that spans the ears, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us, will sound till he appears, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. One with the Father, Ancient of Days, through His Spirit who calls faith with certainty. Honor the Spirit, glory and praise, faith and king, crown and power and authority. And we are raised with Him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with Him. And Christ is risen from the dead. And we are raised with Him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with Him, for He lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
Jesus, today we have worshipped You as the Son who is one with the Father, the One who through Your blessed Holy Spirit has clothed our faith with certainty. We have no doubts today as we say that Jesus is Lord. And now to You, who is able to keep us from falling and present You before Your glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Well,